Open your Bibles up there to Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Oh, it's all right to have fun, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you with reverence and thanksgiving. And everybody just say this out loud. Say, Lord, I am believing you. And I am requesting revelation for my life. Wisdom. I need it today. I need to understand you. I need revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm believing you, Father, that I'll see something here today. I'll hear something here today that'll change my life for the better this very day, this very hour. I am believing you, Lord. I'm requesting manifestations of your spirit in my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse. Let's read there. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Thank you, Tim. You know what the Bible says? If you give a righteous man a cup of Coca-Cola in the name of the Lord, you won't know. Look here. Matthew's Gospel, 16th chapter, the 13th verse. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, we've talked about this. We've been doing this series on the local church. But that's the most important question that you'll ever answer in life, is who do you say Jesus is? It's not who I say he is. It's not who some other speaker says he is. It's not who someone else says he is, but who do you and I say Jesus is? And Peter said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I want you to notice the emphasis there placed on revelation. Y'all do know and understand there's really nothing new under the sun. God has already done everything. It's just him revealing to us what he's already done and showing it to us and letting us in on it and letting us have it be made known unto us. And Jesus told Peter, he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood or someone else didn't reveal this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. See, the thing about revelation knowledge, when you get revelation knowledge in your heart, when it comes time for you to go on and be with the Lord, and you know you're on your deathbed or you're dying, and it's time for you to make that journey on over into the promised land of God and going into heaven, you know you won't have fear and torment about you. Revelation is something that life, circumstances, people, struggles, trials, they may test it, but they can't pull it out of you. Because it's been revealed to you on the inside. See, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because something has been revealed to you. And see, I can't stress enough how important it is for you to have an intimate relationship with God through the Word of God, attending church, being a part of a church family. Because that's where you will receive revelation about who God is to you, by meditating and studying His Word and growing in who He is. And when you begin to get into the Word, you'll begin to do away with religious concepts about God. One of the biggest hindrances that I've seen with people's lives, and I mean, I've been doing this for a while, is they have a religious viewpoint of God. They look at God through other men's eyes instead of getting to know Him themselves. It's so important for you to know the Lord because, see, listen, the Lord is interested in building. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Lord is very interested in building and increasing His kingdom. Building his church is very, very important to the Lord. We think a lot of other things are important, but let me tell you something. To the Lord, building his church is the primary issue. You remember that parable where he invited the people to come to the wedding feast? And one said, well, Lord, excuse me, I've just bought some oxen. In other words, I've just went into business. The other said, Lord, you know, I've just married a wife. The other said, Lord, I've got this issue to deal with. He said, just leave them alone. They won't come into the feast. He said, go to the hedges, the highways, the byways, and compel them to come in. See, it's important. Sometimes I think we take the local church too lightly. I think we take what God's doing too lightly in the local church. You know, we can do anything in life that we want to do, and then when it comes time for us to commit our hearts to the Lord for the local church, it's like we come up with every kind of excuse that we can think of. And the Lord said in that parable where, you know, he invited those guests to dinner, he said, they all with one consent to begin to make excuses. We need to really guard our hearts. If some of these leaders, you know, at church or somebody in church asks you to do something like be an usher or teach a class or, you know, sing a song or whatever or whatever that's going on in the local church, we really need to guard our hearts that we would automatically come up with an excuse of why we can't do it. We need to have reasons, good ones, why we can. Amen. See, well, Pastor Ron, I don't have too much time. Well, see, that lets me know something. If you don't have enough time to do the things that God wants, then you're too entangled with the world system. Amen. See, when we're talking here, what we're talking about here is people's eternal destiny, folks. We're not talking about a bless me club. We're talking about people dying and going to hell or heaven. That's what we're talking about. And I'm telling you the truth. That is serious business with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, his church is serious business with him. It's serious business. That, you know, and it just breaks my heart when we see and hear issues, you know, where people are doing wrong and corrupt and things like that in the local church and churches. It breaks my heart, you know, because that's not my heart. I'm not saying I'm perfect at all, but I tell you, I can't think of anything illegal, immoral, or illicit that I'm doing at all. I mean, I know I'm not perfect and right and everything, but I'm not doing anything illegal, immoral, or illicit. Amen. I am endeavoring to follow the Lord. As your pastor, I'm endeavoring to hear from the Lord to see where we need to be going, to see what we need to be doing. And I know, you know, everybody's not going to agree with me. I mean, we have to understand, God's got churches all over this community that are doing what they are called to do. And for us to think that they have to be just like us, that's wrong. Because they're doing what God called them to do. You understand that? And so we need to recognize we're not just this exclusive club. No, we're part of this local body for sure, but we're part of the body of Christ in this region. And there's a commission that the Lord has for every church, but there is a commission that he has for his church in this community. Folks, he doesn't want any person lost and missing heaven. He doesn't want families disrupted. God's will is peace and productivity. Amen. That's his will. I'm telling you. He told Timothy, pray for those in positions of authority over you that you may lead a peaceable and godly life. That's the will of God, that we lead a peaceable and godly life. And so when Jesus talked to Peter, he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you, that I am the Christ. He said, you see, Peter, you see that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's been a revelation to you, Peter. And he said, you're blessed because of that. But notice here what he says in verse 18. He said, and I say unto you, Matthew 16:18. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now notice he said, I will build my church. Everybody say, I am. That church. See, if you are a born-again believer, you're in the church of the living God. You are, Corinthians says, you are the temple of the living God. The living God. Hallelujah. Think about that. Think about God living in you. Living on the inside of you. We are temples. I think there's a passage there in Corinthians that says he put this treasure. He calls it a treasure. Glory to God. It is a treasure. I'm telling you, having God on the inside of you is a treasure. It's a treasure. He said he put this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that means that it's not about performance. This is listen, we are not saved by works, we are called unto good works. We are saved by grace. We're saved by God's ability. See, but now listen to me. We are called unto good works. We are called to good works. We are called out. The word church in the Greek is the word ecclesia. And what it means called out ones, called unto to go. That's what it means. What are you called out from? Well, I don't know about you all, but I was called out of bed this morning. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, I could have laid in there today, couldn't y'all? Some of y'all did, and you missed life school. I know. Life school starts at 9:30. Did y'all know that? Every Sunday morning, we've got great life school teachers. We've got great classes, children's classes, youth classes, little children's classes, old folk classes. I'm in them. I'm in the seniors' classes. You know, we've got classes for every group, and it starts at 9:30. You know, the Lord's calling you to life school. Boy, that was too. Thank you for that enthusiasm thunder there, that glorious applause and thunder. God, listen, God's calling us out. Did you know that? He's calling us out. What's He calling us out? He's not calling us out to be weird. We are a peculiar people, the Word says. But He's calling us out that we would separate in our hearts and sanctify the Lord in our hearts. That we would sanctify Him and honor Him in our hearts. He's calling us out. He's calling us out. He's calling us out. He's calling us saying, come unto me. Lay your yokes down. Lay your heavy labors down. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somehow or another, the devil has tried to deceive us to think that following the Lord was hard. Following the Lord's not hard. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Woohoo! Amen. Are you with me? He said, and I say unto thee in verse 18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice now, he said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Those keys represent authority. It represents something that you have in your life. See, coming to church is all about the Lord, but He makes it so that it's really all about us. Being a part of the local body, see, we somehow or another we've got this idea that if we think, well, if I get up and go to life school or get up and go to church, then I'm really doing God a favor. Well, no. See, that's a religious thinking. We've got to change that thinking so that we see that thinking is, if God is providing a place for me to go so that I can learn about Him, receive the keys of the kingdom, go back out into that world and function in the power and the authority of the believer that I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a light, you know, let me tell y'all something. How many of y'all have salt shakers on your table? If you got a salt shaker on your table, say amen. Amen. Did y'all ever figure this out? Took me a while to figure this out. You know, salt don't do any good in the shaker. That salt can be in the shaker and sit on your table forever. Until you take that salt shaker and shake it out. We don't like that shaking part though, do we? But you know what? You sit on the table long enough, God will shake you out the salt. See, He'll shake the salt out. Why? Because we are salt. How many of you have figured out if you go into a dark room, the light don't do any good unless you turn it on? You are the light of the world. So we've got to be shook up and turned on. Amen. Shook out and turned on. See, God's wanting to shake us out. He's not wanting that salt shaker. Well, you know, Pastor Ron, I've done my religious duty this week. I went to church. We need to be at church. But listen, we are the salt of this earth. We come to church. We come into this place so that we can learn how to be salt and light out there. Well, Pastor Ron, that just comes by osmosis for me. Well, you sure are cut above all the rest of us then. Ephesians 4 said God put teachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets in the church for the edifying of the body of Christ, to the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith. God put those offices in the church to equip us. Everybody say equip us for the work of the ministry. He put those offices in the church so that we could get a revelation of who we are, what we're doing here on this planet. What is this 70 or 80 years that we're here for? What are we doing here? Paul asked, I think he asked five important questions. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 just a minute. He asked five important questions that all of us need to answer. I tell you, this is so good, I think I'm going to get the CD myself. Glory to God. This is good. This is good stuff. Thank you for your 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth because he had went in and established this church, and the Judaizers and all sorts of people and corrupt preachers and just everything you could imagine came in and began to make attachments to the church at Corinth. And so he wrote this letter. They had told him that they were going to send an offering to the churches of Macedonia. And so he wrote this letter to them, encouraging them to follow through with the fact that they were going to do this special offering and correcting them and letting... This is the passage of Scripture where he's talking about, you know, coming out from among them and being separate. He's not talking about segregation. You know, the church world in a lot of ways have made where we're separate from the world, they've made it segregation instead of separation. And here in a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about how we are to separate ourselves without being segregated. You know, one of the things that we need to do is realize that, you know, what we have, we've received from the Lord. If the Lord didn't give it to us, we wouldn't have it. That'll humble you enough to realize that if you see somebody that's in bad shape, you know, the Lord's wanting to give them something. The Lord's wanting to bless them and help them get them out of that mess, whatever mess they're in. But he's writing this letter because what had happened, all of these false teachers and people had come in, and they began to turn their hearts away from Paul. They began to say, man, you're too much. This is too much. We can't do this. We can't follow you. We can't. These other angels of light, these preachers are making it so easy for us. They're making everything just so easy. And we'll follow them. And Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. Let me have my Message Bible here just a minute. I want to read this to you out of the Message Bible. Let me just read this to you because you need to see this. He wrote this letter to them to correct them about what they were doing. Listen to what he says here. Now just listen. Don't try to follow along because this is the Message Bible. He says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. See, they were accusing him of fencing them in and making them small. He said, the smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us a temple in whom God lives. God himself puts it this way. I'll live in them, move into them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Listen, so leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me, the word of the master. Amen. See, one of the reasons I'm convinced one of the reasons we get tangled up in the world and the world system and the way the world looks at things, we're afraid of rejection. You know, a fear of rejection is probably one of the biggest fears. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. A fear of rejection is the biggest fear that a lot of folks have. You know, being afraid of being rejected. And the peer pressure that the world puts us under to be conformed to them instead of being conformed to Jesus is a fear that we have that if we don't conform to them, we're going to be rejected. Amen. I'd whole lot rather be accepted by God and rejected by the world. Amen. I'd whole lot rather walk with light than lay around with darkness. Amen. Amen. See, you are the temple. Everybody say, I am the temple. Amen. Now I want you to notice what he says you are. This amazes me. This is in the King James. This amazes me. Notice what he says here. Notice what you are called in the scriptures. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Everybody say, in Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. Now he's saying, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? He calls you righteous. Glory to God. Notice here he says, and what communion has light with darkness? Did you know you are called light? Huh? Marty is so bright, his daddy calls him Sonny. Amen? Marty said he calls him a few other things too, but you see, we are light. Everybody say light. Light. See, we don't need to timid and be shy away. We've got the answers from God that will save this world. You have the answers for your family members that are crazy. You do. You've got the answers for that neighbor that's driving you mad. You are light. You are light and righteousness. You know the way. You know the path. We need to quit cowering down and fearing that they're going to reject us and stand up and say, listen, we have the answers. We are salt that's out of the shaker. We are the light that's turned on, glory to God. We are the light that is turned on. Notice he's calling them, he's calling this church, even though they had all those problems. Let me tell you something, folks. This church, you think churches have some problems. I don't know of too many churches that I've been affiliated with where a son was sleeping with his stepmother. That was going on at that church.
Wow.
That's wild stuff, isn't it? But you know, Paul, even though that church had problems, they were misusing the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, they were just all messed up. The church at Corinth, they were having these communion parties, these love parties, and some of them still hadn't got out of the, they were still, you know, the church at Corinth were still trying to hook up with the pagan prostitutes. Some of the churches had prostitutes, and they would come to the communion table of the Lord, and then they would go try to worship these other idols and things. I mean, you're talking about a church that had problems. This church had problems, but you know what he's calling them? Righteous. He's calling them light. No, this is going to flip you out. Notice what else he calls them. Look here what he says. Look at this. Be ye not, verse 14, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Notice this now, verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? He is calling them Christ. What he's saying in that is they are Christ's possessions. He is living in them. He is dwelling in them. He's walking among them. I mean, isn't that amazing? Everybody say, there are treasures in the temple. I'm telling you, you have treasures on the inside of you. Notice what else he says here. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Everybody say, I'm a believer.
I am a believer.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Sound the temple of God. See, he's not calling us to segregate ourselves, folks, but he's calling us to separate ourselves.
Yes.
See, you have to understand, the Bible says Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners and tax collectors. He was a friend of sinners. But you have to understand, if I am sick, if I've got the flu, you know, let's just say I've got the flu and I cough on you. If I'm sick, you know, I can give you my sickness. Did you know that? But you know what? I can't give you my healthy. That's what he's saying here. You can teach somebody healing. You can give, you know, divine healing, lay hands on folks. But I'm talking about a healthy lifestyle. I can't give that to you. But you know what? If I catch a cold, I can give that to you. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying here. He's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't segregate yourselves. Don't get to the place where you feel superior in regard to what you have accomplished or who you are. You listen, we would not have breath in our body if it weren't for the Lord. Can you see that? So there's a huge difference between separation and segregation. A lot of people, a lot of Christians have fallen over into that trap. Now, I'll picture something here with me just a minute. Just let your minds go. Let's say I've got a table up here, and I've got a sign across front of it that says, "This mud's for you." Y'all think about that about 2 o'clock. That'll hit you today. And I've got a bucket of mud up here, and I'm playing in this mud. I'm just playing in this mud. I'm just playing in this mud. I'm playing in this mud. I'm playing in this mud. You know what? And then I all of a sudden I get this mud all over me because I'm in the mud. And I rub it on my shirt. I rub my hands off. Or maybe I get sweaty and I take that mud and wipe it across my forehead. See, you won't notice the mud much until I get the mud on me. But once I got mud, if I got mud on this pretty shirt, I couldn't walk by any with y'all without you noticing that mud. Can you see that?
Yes.
See, we want to be separate, not segregate. We're not trying to segregate ourselves from the problems of life. We're not trying to make ourselves superior. What the church world has done, they have magnified these issues that people have. They've magnified darkness. They've magnified Belial. They've magnified the agreement with idols. They've made those issues paramount, and they've made much ado about nothing. Instead of recognizing the value and the treasure that's in us that will keep us from playing in the mud. If the mud attaches itself to us, the reason the mud attaches itself to us is because we're magnifying and playing in the mud. We don't have to magnify the mud. We don't have to magnify the problems, folks. We don't have to curse the darkness. We can light a candle. Let me give you, real quickly here in closing, I'm going to give you some ways to walk in separation and not segregation. And I just basically took this out of this chapter. I want you to see this. How do you separate yourself without being segregated? Here is a big one. Keep your heart open to your leaders. See, they were shutting Paul out. And he said, you're not straightened because I'm putting you in a bind. He said, you're straightened because you're bound up in your own emotions. You're bound up on the inside. See, listen, if a man is called of God and he's really doing what God wants him to do, he's not going to be into segregation. He's not going to judge somebody because of the color of their skin. Amen. He's not going to judge someone because of some outward appearance. Listen, if somebody is called of God, they are going to be interested in helping people. Not every person wants to be helped, but they're going to be interested in helping people. So listen to your leaders. Listen and don't reject what God has set in front of you to hear. That's what this church was doing to Paul. Know who you are in Christ. Know your own identity, your personal relationship with Jesus. If someone says, "Who are you?" Well, I'm a firefighter. Well, no. Who are you? Well, no, I own a bit. No, that, no. Who are you? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am blessed and not cursed. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am blessed going in and blessed going out. I am the righteousness of God. Greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's who I am. You see what I'm saying? Know who you are. Listen to this. Boy, this is a big one. Man, I'll tell you what. This is a big one. Make connections with people that have a proven track record as Christians. A proven track record. Does that mean you have to just be with everybody that's perfect? No. Because we all have ebbs and tides in our lives where we follow the Lord. Are y'all here? Make connections with people that are proven in their Christian faith. That doesn't mean you don't make connections with people that are lost, but your associations and your connections need to be with people that are going to strengthen you, not tear you down. And then guard your heart, guard your treasure against corruption and compromise. That's a growing process for all of us, that we guard our heart against corruption and compromise. You know, I'm convinced... for the church, as the most part, most people really, they really don't know what their heart is. They don't understand the difference of what their heart, their soul, their spirit. And if you don't, if you think, well, you know, I'm just a soul and I'll go home to be with the Lord when I die. Well, that's, you will, but there's a whole lot more to you than that. And so I would encourage you to learn what your heart is and then guard your heart. Proverbs 4:20 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We can't control everything that comes to us, but I guarantee we can control what we do with it after it does. And folks, I want to tell you something. When he's talking about, the Lord's talking about his church, he's talking about you being the temple, he's serious. I'm telling you, the Lord is serious about his church. And I really believe it's time that we took a more serious look at the church in our lives. Not just so we can have... Listen, if we wanted a crowd, folks, we could go to the nightclub tomorrow night. It's not a crowd. The church is not a crowd. The church is a living, moving force. It's a living, moving body where every joint is supplying. And the scripture says, when every one of us are supplying our part and we're not lazy and we're doing what God wants us to do, when we see that our part is important, it's necessary, he said, we will increase with the increase of God. Woo! That's not just the church as a whole. That's individually that we will increase with the increase of God. Good gracious. Think about that with me. Think about the value that Jesus placed on the church. He said, this is my church and I will build it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think about the fact that he came to live inside of you to become a temple of God. What did he deposit within you when he came within you so that you could in turn give that out to the world? And as you give that out, as you live that out in your life, in every area of your life, he begins to increase your life. You give more. More lives are touched. I'm telling you, can you see that? I want you to see that, folks. I want you to see that when it comes to youth ministry, when it comes to children's ministry, when it comes to ushering ministry, when it comes to visitation ministry, when it comes to that, when it comes to giving offerings, it's more than just those outward acts. What's happening in that is the increase of God is coming into our lives. We are the temple. Amen. I was doing some studying in Haggai this weekend. I just couldn't get out of Haggai. I was studying Haggai. And in Haggai, Haggai is just two chapters. If you get a chance, read it. You'll be blessed. But this is the story when the children of Israel had been held captive and they were coming out of captivity. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody in here ever felt like you were captive? Try walking on the water. See, have you ever felt like you were captive? See, the Lord's wanting you to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Are you with me? Now, but think about this. Now, just think about this with me. They were coming out of captivity, And they were building the temple, but they only got the part built that was important to them. They got a place built where they could offer some sacrifices. And Haggai comes to him and he says, hey, you are living in houses with wainscot on the wall. You've got orchards. You've got everything that you need. You're blessed. God's taking care of you. But he says, take a look at the temple. He said, take a look at the temple. And he said, how can you live in houses with wainscoting on the wall, nice timber and nice homes, and the house of God is in shambles? And this is what happened in shambles. This is what happened to him. When they started building the temple, they became discouraged because the temple did not look like Solomon's temple. But see, God didn't care if it looked like Solomon's temple. He wanted that temple built so that people could have something to connect to in their lives. That temple was sitting on a hill. They could see that temple. They would know that God is in their midst. But folks, here's the problem. They were coming out of captivity. And Haggai wasn't encouraging them. He's saying, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You can build this temple. God will give you the ability to build this temple. But see, they just came out of captivity. And man, they were getting weak. And they were getting worn out. And they were just thinking, can we do it? Can we do it? Haggai said, listen, if you can do it for your house, you can do it for the house of God. He said, if you can do it for your house, if you can do it for your life, you can do it for the kingdom of God. That's the whole thing I think he's saying. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. See, we've made it all about how wrong they are instead of how right we are. We've made it all about how bad the world is instead of how much light we have. We've made it all about how unsalty they are instead of how salty we are. We've made it about how dark they are instead of how light we are. I don't want to make it about how dark they are. I am the righteousness of God and you are too. I am blessed in the Lord and you are too. The blessing of Abraham is upon us. We are blessed coming in. If we believe that, we can't say we can't do it. We can do it. And we're not saying we can do it in our strength. We're saying we can do it. We can build the kingdom. We can build the temple. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. Lord, we recognize we are the temple of the living God. Not just individually, but corporately, Lord, this church is a temple unto you. The people in this building, Lord, are your temples. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being connected with you. Lord, we commit to you today to come out from among them and be separate.